In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning again. So glad that you could join us for the Word for Life radio ministry. As I open my Bible this morning, I'm reminded that the psalmist David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." What a commitment. Lord, I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be hiding it so that no one can steal it, with the goal of living a life that brings glory to God. We were talking about establishing meaningful daily devotions the last time we were together. And then we said the second thing we can do to conquer moral impurity is to remember the sufferings of Jesus, what he endured for my sin. For my sin. You know, it also might help us to remember the tragic consequences in the lives of immoral people. Just think of what happened to Samson. He was a man of God. He was a prophet. He was a man that God gave tremendous physical ability and could conquer the Philistines and could have had just a tremendous godly reputation. Instead, his reputation was that he was strong physically, but very weak morally. Very weak morally. And then, of course, we remember how he died by suicide. His eyes had been gored out because the control of the Philistines was their goal. Remember David, great man of God, but yet on top of his roof and he looks over at his neighbor's house and there's Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Now, David was in his 50s when this happened. All David would have had to have done is to turn away. Go downstairs, go back into his home. He couldn't control what he accidentally saw. But it was that second look that did it. And then he began to connive and make plans as to how he could carry out his wicked thoughts. See, we need to remember the tragic consequences in the lives of these immoral people. Wow. What did David go through? Oh, my. He lost his family. You know, it's ironic to see David's family be divided after he divided Bathsheba's family. Remember, he had her husband killed, her husband Uriah? He divided her family, and guess what God did? He divided David's family. You see, in the same way, we have to remember the tragic consequences in the lives of immoral people. I remember Joseph. Now, thank God he was not immoral when Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon him, and she was after him. He wasn't after her. But he fled, and then she lied about it. Isn't it amazing that so many times when we do what's right, we suffer for it? It's exactly what happened to Joseph. He did what was right, and he suffered for it immediately after. But you see, the story's not done. Several years later, God promoted him to become the prime minister of Egypt and to become the leader over Potiphar and his wife in the days to come. So remember the sufferings of Jesus, what he endured for my sin. When I'm tempted, I need to just picture him on the cross and everything that he went through for me. I think thirdly, it would help if you memorize some key scriptures. Now here I'm going to ask you to get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and just jot down some key scriptures that will help you as you memorize and meditate on these verses. You ready? 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Second one is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Third passage, James 1:1-8, then verse 12, and verse 14. James 1, 1 through 8, verse 12, and verse 14. Next, Romans 6, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. Next, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Then there's Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3. And then the verses that we're looking at now, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Memorize these key verses. Meditate upon them. Have them with you so that when you are attacked, you can immediately lift up the shield of faith and be reminded that I have the promise of God that I can get victory over that which so binds those who are in addiction to these sins. Memorize key scriptures. Number four, make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes. That comes from Job chapter 31 and verse 1. It's interesting that Job is talking about everything that's gone wrong. He's lost everything, his wealth, his reputation, his health, and everything that was of any value to him, he's lost it. But in the middle of the book of Job, Job at least recognizes that when I'm down, I need to get down on my knees. You may want to write that down. When I'm down, I need to get down on my knees. I need to recommit myself to serve God, even when I'm suffering. Now, for Job, he had lost everything except his wife, but she was bitter, and she was telling him, why don't you just curse God and die? You can imagine she's lost it all as well. She's lost all of her kids. They've lost all of their wealth. She has nothing left except a husband that's filled with sores all over his body. But at Job 31 is an amazing statement. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? The word maid there can also be translated virgin. I made a covenant with mine eyes. In other words, I am not going to be diligently considering this female that's in front of me. That's the word think in verse 1. Why then should I think? Why should I diligently consider? In other words, mentally undress her is what Job was saying. And then the next 12 verses, he talks about how all of this just continues to progress. And he talks about his heart walking after his eyes. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? His heart walking after his eyes. Write this statement down. Whatever holds your look molds your life. Whatever holds your look will mold your life. So consequently, the fourth suggestion is make a covenant with your eyes. For instance, for me, it's basically I will only look at a woman's face. I'll only look at a woman's face. Why? Because anywhere else, that's not where my eyes need to be focusing. I need to be focusing on her face. And you can make the same covenant. You can make the same determination. It's such a blessing to have members of your family who, when they see something that they know is going to be an immoral distraction, they can simply say, eyes left, Dad. Eyes right, Grandpa. Eyes left, Granddaddy. I have grandchildren that will do that for their dad, and they'll even do that for me. We'll be walking in a mall somewhere, and something will all of a sudden show up, and immediately they'll redirect the eyes of the men that are in the group. That's sweet, because they know that we've made a covenant with our eyes. And that's just a practical thing that we can do. Number five, determine to remove the hidden provisions to fulfill the lust of your flesh. Determine to remove the hidden provisions to fulfill the lust of your flesh. Now, notice I said hidden. Those are the ones that we don't want anybody necessarily to know that we have that provision. It's kind of like going on a diet, but yet you've got that little package of cookies hidden away in a drawer. That's a hidden provision to give in to the temptation to eat sometime during the day. Here's a verse for you, Romans 13:14. And put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't make it possible for your flesh to be tempted if it's anything that you can control. Make no provision for the flesh. And so, in other words, whatever my temptation is, whatever my weak point is, I need to make sure that I stay away from those areas. If I have a problem with constantly buying things, then I probably need to stay off the internet most of the time. I don't need to go window shopping unless I need to buy a new window or something. But I know some people, they weren't planning on buying a new car. They just went to look to see what the new models look like, and they drove away in a new car. Not a good idea. They were making provision for their constant desire for the new cars. And so determined to remove the hidden provisions to fulfill the lust of your flesh. Now, that may mean that you kind of have to remove some impure books or maybe some magazines. I get the Wall Street Journal on a regular basis and totally enjoy reading it. But every once in a while, in the Saturday edition, they will stick a magazine in there that doesn't have very good pictures. And I'm so grateful for my wife, who will, when she sees the Saturday paper that may be included, she'll immediately remove it and throw it away for me, so I don't even have to look at it. See, that is removing a provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh, whether it's magazines or impure books or maybe might even be TV shows. Things that you know have been immoral in the past, are you going to watch them again? It might even be your music. You know what they talk about. You know what that particular artist loves to sing about. So is that something that you need to remove as a provision for the flesh? Or maybe even a friendship that would cause me to be tempted in areas that I normally wouldn't be, but a friendship. You see, the Bible talks about wrong friends corrupting good manners. We need to evaluate our friends, don't we? And determine that if these friends are constantly offering excuses, making suggestions for me to become involved in something that will not glorify God, I will immediately respond by saying no and leave and find some new friends. Until the next time, may the Lord give you victory in these areas.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.